You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. Islands are not just about vacation, paradise, and escape. As commentator Gary Joyner points out today, their discovery and sometimes mere existence have deep ties to history.
When you think of the word island, you may conjure up a picture of a Caribbean paradise in a travel brochure. And yet, islands can appear anywhere, in oceans, lakes, even rivers. The Mississippi River, flowing from Lake Itasca in Minnesota to the Gulf of Mexico, has created over 100 islands. Some no longer exist, and some have recent history. As the Mississippi was opened from north to south, the islands south of the confluence of the Mississippi and the Ohio River were numbered. The most famous of those islands during the Civil War was Island No. 10, a large fortress for the Confederacy. Its conquest in April 1862 was a major event in that war. Another strangely named island in the Mississippi was just north of Memphis, a sandbar called Patty's Hens and Chickens, which was used as a navigation point and, as the name implies, a holding area for animals. As the river moved, it sometimes created new islands when the old portion of the river channel became an oxbow lake. The easternmost boundary of Louisiana lies in the Gulf of Mexico, a broad arc of islands extending south of the state of Mississippi and east of the Mississippi River. They were first seen by French explorers, the brothers Iberville and Bienville, in 1699. They came upon them at night, illuminated by the moon, and they named them the Chandeleurs because they seemed like candles on a chandelier. There were once more than 100 islands in the Chandeleurs. Hurricane Katrina destroyed all but a handful of them. Another famous island off the Louisiana coast is Timbalier, which today is only about 20% of what it was in the 1700s, thanks to hurricanes primarily. Its name came from the war with the Natchez Indians when a retired French army sergeant was given the island as a land grant. When the Indians went on the warpath, he saw them crossing over to attack him. In the army, his job had been that of a drummer, a kettle drummer, or a timbalier. He still owned his uniform and drum and, knowing he could not kill all of the Indians, decided to frighten them. He ran into the cabin, donned his old uniform, took his drum to the north side of the island, and beat it in a military tattoo. The Indians thought that he was touched by the gods, and not only did they not kill him, they left him provisions, believing that he was a holy man. Closer to home, the Red River has its share of islands, although most are man-made. Captain Henry Miller Shreve, to whom I refer to in my classes as God's Beaver, created most of these islands as he cleared out the logjam called the Great Raft. To look at them, you might not notice that they are islands at all. And if you own one, you still might not recognize that you own an island anyway. Although they were once islands completely surrounded by water, most of them now appear to be contiguous with the city of Shreveport or near it. Although their names may give you a clue, Shreve Island, Wright Island, and Anderson Island are just a few of the familiar ones. Islands are just one fascinating part of geography, and one that, outside the tropical paradises, don't get much recognition. Islands have played a major role throughout history, from the island republics to the islands and rivers. They are history, one reason people who live along the river know that history matters.
Commentator Gary Joyner is an associate professor of history at LSU Shreveport. His commentaries take us around the globe and in our own backyard to explore topics of historical significance. You can always reach him at gary.joyner@lsus.edu. Morning Edition continues in a moment here on your public radio station, Red River Radio.